Sunday, we had the first service. I remember I was trying to wrap up on our conversation regarding service. You remember that? From Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 5, we began to look at how one of the key sign of when God sends a man is that there's going to be a serious level of mobilization, right? The soul will be mobilized. The soul will be mobilized, and that is deliverance from worldliness. You know, deliverance from worldliness is not deliverance from wearing gold. Are you together with me? That's not worldliness. It is how the soul beats and what it beats towards. The panting of the soul. Are you together with me? And so we had that conversation and God was able to bless us. Then we began to look at the risk that take us into deeper dimensions. You remember that? How you need to take risk. That there's a risk that the Spirit invites us to take. Why is it called a risk? It is a time or a realm in your walk with God where you just are no longer in control of the outcome. Are you together with me?
Yes,
you know? God put you in a place where you are no more in control of what? Outcome. And that's where you now learn to trust and lean on Him. And it is at that other side, you see, that we begin to find access to grace. Are we together, friends?
Yes,
it is that other side that we begin to find what? Access to grace. And that we begin to experience a type of life that we have never experienced before. Now, I'm not first talking about making decision. I'm not talking of risk as per decision making. I'm just talking about depths that the Spirit beckons on us. And sometimes we have an idea of the consequences of that beckoning. I don't know if this has happened to you. Are my friends here?
Yes, sir.
Where the Spirit beckons on us and you have this knowing that if I respond to this thing, is it not that they want to waste my life? Many of you have been there before. And some of you are currently there. You see. But this was how Jesus put it. He said that he that wants to save his life is going to lose it. And then he that loses it for my sake. Can we have that scripture, please? Praise God. For whoever desires to save his life. You see? So there is a way we walk with God. You can check and be sure your phone is on silence so that. Arabokosha talabana masia. There's a way we walk with God that we still know that our life is still intact. Are you together with me? There's a way you can do it that you know that the life is still saved. But he now says, but whosoever loses his life for my sake. So there's another way God calls us. And God begins to lead us that the chances of losing the life are very high. And that chance stares right before your face. You know why I'm happy teaching this scripture? I'm so happy teaching this, what I'm teaching you today. because I thank God that He has granted me grace to lead this life quite some few years ago. Because this particular preaching, you cannot preach it if you have not experienced it. You will not feel like preaching it. And even when you're about to start, you will be stammering. And you'll be saying, it's not like I'm saying, I'm not really saying, because as you are saying it, fear will be inside your soul. So I'm grateful to God that for the grace, you know, that for the grace that, you know, gave me the opportunity to experience some levels of surrender with the Lord. You know, there was a time in Jesus' ministry, a lot of times in his ministry, where he could predict outcome because of his anointing and his grace. Are you together with me? But do you agree with me that there was a time he could not predict outcome? He could not predict outcome. Or better put, he was not in charge of outcome. And that was when the Lord began to lead him towards death. When God began to lead him towards death, he couldn't predict that outcome. All the anointing in him was irrelevant for that new demand. What will he use his anointing for? Someone tell me. At this level, he's not healing any sick, he's not raising any dead. So he could not predict outcome. And then that was the time where he needed prayer partners the most. It was that season he took his disciples to go and pray with him. Now that prayer was not to charge for ministry. That was the kind of prayer you pray so that you can commit yourself in the hand of God. Because as it go, I don't understand again. Yeah. The Lord God had gotten to that point. Friends, it didn't take, you see, when you read Matthew, is it chapter 9? Don't go there. It's either 9:6 or 6:9. He taught his disciples how to pray. It says, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. But in Matthew chapter 26, he didn't teach this, he didn't go and teach disciples how to pray. He needed his disciples to pray with him. That's not rabbi level. Are you together with me? He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. Those are the ones that wanted to be on his right and on his left. Are you with me? Now, the reason why I'm preaching the way I'm preaching is because I already see a particular fire that is coming down. Yeah. I say fire for these times and for these seasons. And I'm preaching to those who will carry that fire. Yeah. That is the reason why I'm preaching the way I've been preaching for a while. There is a preparation that we need to have. There is a heart posture so that there's a particular fire coming because God wants to use his people again. Are you together with me? So in this Matthew chapter 26, it says, he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Are you together with me? Yes, this was Jesus' day one. In depression and sorrow. Because there is the word began. Are you together with me? This is his first experience And this was orchestrated by the Lord himself, because he was being dragged into another level of life. And the level of life that he was being dragged into is what we call resurrection life. Resurrection life. Some time ago, I was in a room which I believe is the court in heaven. And in that room, they were discussing a particular issue. They were discussing. And then I was full of pain in that room. I was full of pain. Both in that experience and in real life, I was going through serious pain. Then after everybody had analyzed everything, the Lord spoke from the air, but it almost came from the ground. The Lord gave his final verdict. And then the word of the Lord came towards me and said, the reason you went through this pain and you're going through this pain is that I allowed it. And it's because without this pain, he told me some other things. He said, I used this to invite you to resurrection life. He said, now you are going to have a greater life than you ever had. That was the voice. I'm not interpreting the dream. It's not interpretation. It's the voice of the Lord himself that spoke, and I just came out of that experience. So you see, when we talk resurrection life, are you together with me? All of us have a part. All of us have, Bible calls us partakers of divine nature. Are you together with me? We are all partakers of resurrection life. Now, there are different levels of life. There is the dead life. Are you together with me? Which is the life of the person who is not saved. Eh? Now, there is the anointed life. When you were saved and you do the word, you pray and you fast, there are some levels of anointing. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
That comes upon you. But now there is resurrection life. You see, that one is a bit different. Resurrection life, sometimes to get resurrection life, sometimes it will look as though you are letting go of even anointed life. I don't know if I'm preaching here.
Yes,
can you like come up like in your spirit, man? I want us to have very deep conversations this beautiful evening. Are we here, friends?
Yes,
sir. And so, you see, anointed life is for work. Resurrection life is... what will I call it now? With anointed life, you walk, which God wants us to always be anointed. You see, but anointed life is your tool. Resurrection life is your own. It's your portion with God. You understand?
Yes.
The part of God that has become your own. You see? Are you together with me?
Yes.
And you remember that except the wheat of corn falls down and dies, what happens to it? It abides alone. You see, the concept of abiding alone is not just conversation around multiplication. It's not just like it will multiply and become many corn. It's talking about it will morph into new life. Are we preaching here?
Yes,
are we preaching here?
Yes, sir.
Even in your marriage, come, let me tell you something about marriage. Even in your marriage, you start marriage as a carnal man. Born again. But the soul is not born again. And you know, it's not the spirit that gets married. It's the soul that gets married. That's why service is more powerful than home. Church service is more powerful than when you go home. Because in church service, you don't use your soul. You use your spirit. So there is perfection. I don't know how many of you feel sorrowful doing worship? Huh? Godly sorrow, right? Because you use your spirit. You see, but when you get home, your soul, your emotions, your will, and your intellect, those are the things that's why it's not as though you married a bad person, you understand? It's just that it's carnal people. Then the Spirit of God begins to train you and talk to you to now do your marriage with the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit does almost nothing. It does a little thing, but not. It solves the problems that want to attack us from without. But you know, the real enemy of a man. You understand? Mortify your members in the flesh. Are you together with me? So you can see that there are many members. As we are right now, we have members. We have ourselves members. But we now have members inside members. Every member has his own member. As you are coming to church now, you have your members. So that's what Colossians asked us to mortify. Are we together, friends?
Yes,
so for the marriage to work, are you with me? The Holy Spirit will now begin to tell you about the fruits that are inside you that you don't really know is there. You understand that? Begins to tell you that you can be patient. And then like, I can't take this anymore. The Spirit will say, you can take it. You see, and when the funny when you said you can't take it anymore, the truth is you are not telling a lie. You actually can't take it anymore. But there is another person inside you called Holy Spirit. And then he has fruits. You see, all these fruits of the Spirit that we mention here are not English words. They're not English words. So this love is not the dictionary love.
Yes.
This joy is not dictionary joy. So when the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit, for you to understand it, you have to understand the Spirit. It's not, so it's not the love of Oxford Dictionary or Webster. It already told us the kind of love. So next time when someone says, I love you, ask, which one? Is it the one in Webster?
Wow.
Or the one in Oxford? Because are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Because when you even check the explanation of love in the Bible, it's not the same one in Oxford.
Yeah.
Give me Oxford or Webster love. Don't forget, I want to talk to us. I digressed into marriage.
Yeah.
Because I want to say something. Give us, somebody read Webster love.
Strong affection for another.
Strong affection for another.
Arising out of kinship or personal ties.
Personal ties. All right.
Attraction based on sexual desire.
Are you saying? Very powerful. So strong affection for another, arising out of kinship or personal ties. Maternal love for a child, attraction based on sexual desire. Now let's check the love of the Bible. The one in, is it 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 13? So you can see that it's a bit, the difference is a lot. There are two different things. So this one, what is love? It says love suffers long. So So I need you to understand what you, when you say, I don't love him again. The one you are talking about is, I don't webster love him. Or I don't Oxford love him. That's what you actually mean. Because if you say you don't love him again, it can only mean that you are dead.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Because this particular one is the sign that God is still in you.
Yes,
because
sir.
God is love.
Yes, sir.
So when you say you don't love him again, I say, is it Oxford love? Is it Webster? Say, no, I don't God love him again. That the problem is no longer about you and him. We are now concerned about you. We need to pray that you come back to life. Because you are dead.
Yeah.
And that was what John told us, that there is, that we love our brothers, and I don't know how he put it, and the sign of that is that we have passed from death to life. So love is the sign that you are still alive. Are we? So can you see there's nobody here who can stop loving your spouse? It's not, the possibility doesn't exist. You have to not be a child of God again. So when you say, I don't love him again, you are correct, but you are talking Webster. So you can now understand the confidence of John, where he talks about how the who that is born of God will always love. He that doesn't love is not of God. That's what John is trying to say, that he that doesn't, if you hate your brother, you are not of God. It's not Webster love. So don't think because you are angry with someone, you don't love the person again. That's very dangerous for you.
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So I'm still talking resurrection life, and I want to use marriage, right?
Yes.
So we all start carnal, right?
Yes.
All of us start carnal. So when the carnal man and the carnal woman come together, then there will be a lot of outburst of carnality. You get the point? The emotions, the intellect, and the will. Intellect, don't you get it? Can't you reason? Can't you? You know, all those stuffs. Can't you reason? I'm just trying to make a simple sense. You need to come, you need to think, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Then the spirit that's inside you will now begin to tell you what to do. Then it will look tough. Sometimes people just say, go and beg him. Then, you know, you'll behave like a goat that you're dragging. Like a goat they are dragging. Say, I'm sorry about yesterday. It's tough. But the spirit knows that it's not, what is tough is the flesh. You see, that war against the spirit, they are enemies. You see, the flesh doesn't want you to divorce him. The flesh loves you, and so it feels bad when you're cheating on him, you see, by following the spirit. Are we together, friends?
Yeah.
You see, but as you consistently do that, the fruit of the spirit, that's why there would not be a reasonable marriage if the people in it are not operating from the fruit of the spirit. It can't be. Marriage breaks down when one person or the two people decide to operate flesh. It has to be the spirit. You have to live the spirit. So the next time someone says they love you, you need to ask them which one. Is it the Webster love or this one? This one, the Bible says, never fails. The Bible says, this one never fails. And so it's that spirit. Now we need to keep practicing the fruit of the spirit. But you see, after you practice the fruit of the spirit for some years, what you are going to come into is resurrection life. Ask me why. The reason, ask me again.
Why?
Yeah, I know exactly. Like, I like when I'm listening to someone who knows exactly.
Yes.
It's you don't stress me when you know exactly. You don't. Whatever. So the exact reason is because the fruit of the Spirit is when you obey, when you flow by the fruit of the Spirit, it's an opportunity for flesh, no, not flesh, self. It's an opportunity for self to die. And anytime self dies, resurrection happens. It is the death of self that qualifies you for resurrection. So the fruit of the Spirit, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So that's why, you see, what took Jesus to the cross is not the anointing. The anointing took him to the crusades. The fruit took him to the cross. So the journey from the from Gethsemane to that cross was not was none of the five of the nine gifts of the Spirit. What took him from Gethsemane to the cross is the fruit of the Spirit. It's all of this fruit of the Spirit that took him to the cross. And what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, is one. Now, inside love is where you have all this joy, peace, long-suffering. And that's what you understand better when you now read it in Corinthians chapter 13. Love is, what it mentioned is all the fruits of the Spirit. Are you together with me? That's why you can marry anybody God says you should marry.
Yes, sir.
I don't really have feelings for him. You have what is more than feelings.
Hallelujah.
What do you have? Love. And that love has affection.
Yes. Yes.
Affection. Tell was Joe.
Yes.
I'm saying it has affection. It's not like without affection. It has its own affection. It has its own. A lot of us haven't dug to it to get that. It has its own affection. Its own affection is crazy. Let me sit down. Sit down, Laura. See, Webster love and Oxford love. When it hears gunshot, scarcely will a man die. Give me that scripture.
Wow.
Give me that scripture. Scarcely will a man die. How did they put it? Put it. Give me that scripture. Oh my. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. How many of you here can die for someone who did not do something wrong? He says, guy, you're righteous. I will die for him. Yet perhaps a good one, someone would even dare to die. Let's read this. The next verse. But God demonstrates what?
His own love.
Can you see? His own. He knows we have Webster.
Yes.
We have ox. Oh my goodness. But his own love. But his own love, but God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. He says, even for righteous people, to die for a righteous person is not easy. He said, but this Christ died for us while we're yet sinners. So God now put a man and a woman in the house and now told the man, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And I said, a character, shut up. While we were yet sinners. Say, it's a character. If she learns how to talk to me, then she will know I'm a good man. She needs to learn how to talk. Wow, we are yet. Yes. Sinners. Wow. So, because some men plan to love when the wife change. That's not the love of God. That's the Webster's love. His own love is demonstrated while we were what? Yet sinners.
So you are going to love a badly behaved woman. You will love her. Yeah. That is the only thing the Holy Spirit will tell you. Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Christ did not wound for us. No wound. What happened?
He died.
So when the fruit of the Spirit, are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Begins to do these workings in us, or the Spirit begins to lead us to go in the direction of the fruit, what will happen? Resurrection happens. It means that you now obtain life. At that level, they don't drag you like goats anymore. Your goat nature would have changed. It now becomes normal. It has become who you are. Yeah. You are now. I tell you the truth. I'm telling you. You are not going to continue like this.
Yes.
I'm telling you. Yeah. You won't. You're going to get to a point where what other people would have screamed and shouted at. You're not going to be like this forever now.
Yeah.
You're going to experience resurrection.
Yes, sir.
Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
You see, but resurrection begins to happen when the Holy Spirit begins to lead you into circumstances. Let's go back to Matthew 26. Into circumstances that you can no longer control the outcome. See, the toughest thing for a man, the toughest thing for whether man or woman, is to live a life where you are not in control of outcome.
Yeah.
See, every day we live our lives in a way where we can control outcome. The toughest thing for a man is for you not to be able to control outcome. It's dying.
Yeah.
That's why we walk. That's why we walk. That's why we know what we want to buy and what we cannot buy. It's so that you can control what? Outcome. When you can't control outcome, the thing that is before you is what they are calling disgrace. Yeah. Disgrace. Disgrace and shame. And that's why Jesus endured the cross and despised the shame. When you can't control outcome, you see, it's clear, my father, why have you forsaken me? That line is, I don't know what's going to happen next. I'm not in charge of what's going to happen next. So the Spirit of God takes us to that place, are you together with me?
Yes.
Where we can control outcome. Now that's opportunity to die so that you can experience resurrection. And why is resurrection important? Resurrection is important because, one, resurrection is the only plane, P-L-A-I-N, where you can engage God accurately. Why? Because there is unism of life. There is unism of life. You become one with him. Not one with him based on the works of Jesus, but one with him through the works of Jesus. Through the works of Jesus, something else has happened to you. So it's not just a theology. It has become an experience. Are my friends here?
Yes, sir.
And then at that level, you become, at that, when you approach resurrection life, what happens is that you become a life giver.
Yeah.
You become a life giver. When you approach resurrection life, you become a life giver. Let me say this. The reason the church is going to be perfect is because the church is married to resurrection life. That's why Jesus is sure that he's going to get a perfect church, because he's infusing life into the church. So the point is, when we also begin to experience resurrection life, what happens is that anything we do will have an imprint of life on it. At that level, there will be no more mundane with everything you do. It means that everything in this earth is at risk. When it comes, it's at risk of receiving life. Everything is at risk. Everything is at risk. Your marriage is at risk of receiving life. Your business is at risk. Anybody who comes near you is at risk. Boom, boom, boom. Life will just boom, 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 boom. Yeah. You just begin to give life. Yeah. So you can now understand what Peter was trying to teach the women, where he was saying that you can win your husband without talk, without talking. He's talking about amassing resurrection life.
Yes.
That life, you will store life, you will release life into the marriage. Not argument. Yes. This is when he beholds your chastity. When he beholds your conduct, I mean, the guy sees you. Whew. You know, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit has come to convict the world. It's resurrection life that does convict. You release conviction. Resurrection life. But you see, it's at the other side of risk. It's at the other side of risk. Listen, to die is not an easy thing. But that is the reason God gave you will. So that he granted you the privilege of choice. You see, the will is the... Oh my goodness, I'm happy. I already see three people who have an encounter tonight. The will is God's privilege to us. Is God giving us the privilege to choose him? And the reason why, ask me why? So that we can qualify for reward.
Yes.
Because if you didn't choose, you are not qualified for reward.
Yeah.
And the reward he wants to give us is that life. Let's read Philippians chapter 2. Jesus embodied this. Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through self-ambition or... You see, when you look at all these things here, Jerry, come. All these things that you are seeing, let nothing be done through self-ambition. This thing you are seeing here is unnatural. Human beings do everything through self-ambition. Everybody. That thing called lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others than himself. All these things you are seeing here is not natural. Until you agree with the spirit inside you. This is not how you were born. This is not how your father was born or your mother was born. This one is when you allow the Holy Spirit by yourself. Oh, it's the Holy Spirit. Help me to allow you, Holy Spirit. You know, we are criminals. We have sense. Holy Spirit. I say, Holy Spirit, please help me to allow. No. Holy Spirit, help me to allow you to walk in the Spirit. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Now, you know this is not a normal thing.
Yes.
Because even as you are here, there are some of you who still feel you will preach this message better than me. Yeah. Say, don't try, but Babagbe Samon, you fool me, ma, for wele wele. Let each one of you look out not only for his own interest, but the interest of the others. Let this mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Can I talk to you?
Yes, sir.
Now, this mind is not coming from heaven. The mind is already inside your spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now, let, meaning that allow it, decide, don't allow flesh. Let this mind now be in you. Now own it. Allow the Holy Spirit. Which was also, now let's see how it manifested in Christ Jesus. And this is how it manifested. Who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal to God, but made himself. So you see, it's a choice.
Yes.
It's a choice.
Yes, sir.
To walk in the fruit, to die, it's a what? It's a choice. It's a choice. You see, except a seed of corn falls down, that falling down is a choice. The dying, we'll talk about that one. It's God that supervised that one by himself.
Yes, sir.
No, you can't. After, are you not for? All right, may I come key you? I will tell you how they supervise that one later. Yeah, that one you can't. Because if you do it by yourself, you'll faint. You go do like say, you don't die. That's always been my plan. Anytime I watch film, I say, okay, if this thing happened and somebody just, there's war. I say, what was my plan? I just plan that when there's war, I'll just do as this, I don't die. Or until the war finish, I will just die. How many of you have thought that? But made himself of no reputation. He made himself. So you see, Ogbodo Lena ti ma bara isoro. You have to practice talking to yourself and talk to yourself like this. Don't allow yourself talk to you. You talk to self. Don't let self talk to you. Don't let self talk to you. What do? You talk to self. And tell self how you want self to be based on the scripture. So that you can allow what is already inside you to be your own. Stop accommodating self-character. And everybody knows you by it. And you are proud about it. I say, Jagu stop ball. That's my grandma view. That's what they told me. They told me my grandpa too is hard-headed, just like my grandfather. So, if you give them, Bola will give you back. If I've given you back, it has already left my heart. If I say my mind like that, what you turn into me? No, we shouldn't be like that, right?
Yeah.
We should tell self, because if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. A lot of men, your wives are complaining about some things. You say that's who you are. No, you are a new creature. You can be anything that you should be. Say, I'm not the chatty type. But it is the chatty type that can succeed in that home. Then why not be the chatty type? So I'm not really the talking type. Why can't you be the talking type? You have the spirit in you. And the will is your own. The spirit is your own. And God is willing also to help you. There is nothing. You are just You are just allowing flesh. So you are not the chatty type. Be the chatty type. Do you know there are very strange issues in marriages that is just flesh? Yeah. I tell you. Some is hygiene. Your wife just says, I want you to be bathing. I'm serious, so. Some of you are not married. You think what I'm saying is extreme. It's not extreme. Oh. Some wives are, I just want you to bath. I want you to bath. Don't bath. Say, I'll bath later. Brush your teeth. Yeah, brush your teeth. Say, use roll-on. Oga, you say no. I'm telling you, the issues in marriages, you would think is one issue that we need a professor. They are very simple issues. It's just flesh. Call me when you go out. Be calling me when you go out. Just call me when you go out. What? Who will die if you just... I've gone out. I said I should call you. Yeah, I'm telling you. Every woman knows what she wants her husband to do, and she'll be happy.
Yeah.
And every husband knows what is what, and usually it's no more than two or three.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's the same thing they have been saying. But flesh will not allow you. It's the same thing. Your wife is saying the same thing for the past 8 years. I tell you, the same thing. And then you behave shocked why you don't have a happy home. You are shocked. That's the challenge. You are shocked. I don't have peace in my home. And you know exactly what the woman has been saying. Are we together, friends?
Yes, sir.
Why did you come out, sir? But you have to be the one to find out how does God want me to be, that are contained in the fruit of the Spirit, and then you begin to decide to be that kind of person. This kind of person. You see, can I talk to you?
Yes, sir.
Don't hype a glorious church experience above the nudgings of the Spirit inside you. Those nudges, those demands of the Holy Spirit. Eri olong lara eniye, gotolong vejiri lara eniye. Gotolong majiri lara eniye. Nikwe, Holy Spirit yin bai soro, undalong. Eri tulu vejiri lara eniye. That's God's. You see, eri tolong majiri lara mi is not the crusades or the churches are planted. No, that's the work I'm doing for him. But that's not the basis of his relationship with me. Taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. You can see here that he is choosing it. He's choosing, knowing that this is how I should be. So he's choosing. Learn to find the Holy Spirit. How should I be? Generally, as an individual, as a husband, how should I be? As a father, Holy Spirit, what? How should I be? As a businessman, what's the question? How should I be? As an employee, what's the question? How should I be? As a pastor, what's the question? How should I be? As an assistant pastor, what's the question? I was talking to one of my daughters in the faith, and I told her, I said, you know, come. Let's assume Pastor Obi is the head And this man is the assistant, right? You see, Laolu's role as assistant is not... The reason why he's assistant is not because Obi lacks something. The thing he lacks, Laolu now has it. Then where Obi lacks, Laolu will come into play. That is the general idea a lot of us have as per assistant. But you know the meaning of assistant. You see, if Laolu sees assistant that way, this is what will happen. In the areas Obi is lacking, his leadership instinct will be boiling. So he will be a leader in his own right. Will be a leader in his own strength. So unconsciously, even though we call them assistant, they're actually two leaders. And one is not so sure that he's not meant to really, really, really. If they see, if they have checked this thing very, very, very well, I should have been the one to be the leader. And that way, there will not be progress. Let me tell you the meaning of assistant. This is the meaning of assistant. Obi has some strengths and some weaknesses. Obi now has other strengths. Those other strengths are not inside his body. Those other strengths are in Laolu's body. And it's for Obi. And so Obi will see whatever he has. Laolu will see whatever he has as Obi's own. And then he will now serve Obi with what he has so that Obi's weakness must not show.
Hey. Yes.
That is the meaning of assistant.
Yes, sir.
If you see it any other way, you'll be like Satan. You will turn to, the meaning of Satan is adversary.
Yes.
You will contend with your leader unconsciously.
Yeah.
Because you will, an assistant must not have individual strength.
Yes. Yes.
It must add to his leader. You add to your leader. You know what will happen? That death process he goes through because he has canceled himself.
Yes.
Is that death process he went through that will now make Obi say, oh yeah, go and do this for me.
Yeah.
Because Obi knows that as he's sending him, it's me that is going.
Yes.
So this guy will be elevated because he died.
Yes.
If this guy doesn't die, this one go to Masham. See, whoa, Nigeri, see me, man. I see me, man. That's the reason a lot of you are having troubles because all the people above you know that you are personally strong. You have not died. And now carry everything you have and give. This was what Jesus did. Though he was equal with God, but he left all of that. He made himself of no reputation. God could not die for us. God's weakness is God and Holy Spirit. Their weakness is there is to die. They don't have the ability to die. It's their weakness. Jesus Christ did not come and tell us that. He said, God cannot die. I don't know what's wrong with him, but I love. It was still for God.
Yes.
You are not getting the point.
Yes.
It's Jesus that died, but the credit is God.
Oh, yes.
For God so loved the world.
Yes.
So John said, if God didn't love you guys, I'm not coming.
Yes. Wow.
I didn't come as me. I came as God. For God so loved the world. You can sit down. Let's sit down. So you see, you have to be the one to make yourself. Because why? You have reputation.
Yes.
You are, you see, you have. And the more you see what you have, you will die. But not the die that will lead to resurrection. It's the bad dying. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form. Don't forget what he's teaching us is to carry the mind of Christ. Yes. And he's now describing that mind. If wives do this, they will not have a problem in the house. If a wife can, what I just said, if a wife can be like this, no problem. The husband you are trying to control, he will be the one to bring the remote control for himself. Yeah. It will give you the remote control like that, say, yeah, control. But when you are still thinking you are something, agidi, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death. Can you see? Can you see? So you can see that there are levels of that obedience. But there was only one that led to resurrection. Which one led to resurrection? The obedience of death. That was the one that led to what? Resurrection. I don't know if you are getting this. Yes, sir. Some of you are already getting tired. Oh. Oh. Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
And became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, resurrection. On the account of this, God has what? Highly exalted him. Now, at this point, he can't exalt himself. He was not in charge of what? Outcome. So resurrection happens when you are not in charge of outcome. So you see that person that insulted you and you wanted to give your own back, and the spirit did not allow you to. That feeling like you did not clear your name. That you are trying to do. If you clear your name, that name will remain the same name. But if you leave that name unclared because the Holy Spirit leave it, it's because it will give you a higher name. That name you want, after you clear that name, it will be the same name. Worthless. So you can see that sometimes when God does not allow you to show yourself, yeah, it's because he wants to reveal a new you. Yeah. And a lot of us battle to remain who we are. So we don't go, I'll give them out. I don't take nonsense. The reason you are still nonsense is because you don't take it. If you took more nonsense, you would have left, yes, nonsense. Are my friends here?
Yes, sir.
Now, this is the journey of carrying life. God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. Now, you see, that concept called the blood of Jesus. Father, we give you the praise. We thank you because you are going to keep us, grant us journey mercies. We thank you over this journey. We pray the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. Over this old house, Father, we pray the blood of Jesus.
Blood of Jesus.
Yeah, now that's the blood of Jesus that we are repeating. It means just one thing. Death. You see, anytime blood is obvious,
yes, sir,
death has happened.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Anytime you see blood without body, you are not getting my point. So when you are talking about is his blood that washed our sin, you need to find out how did we get his blood that made it possible for sins to be washed. It was death that produced blood. And don't forget that life is in the blood. The life of the thing, it's in its blood. So when we talk about being washed of our sins by the blood, it must have been because... So anytime you say, we have come to Mount Zion, one of the elements existing in Mount Zion is we have come to the blood.
Glory.
Now when you look at that thing called the blood, it's a whole reality of life. And a whole revelation of death that has made, that has institutionalized the blood that now washes our sin every time. Anytime there is blood, the sin must go.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Anytime there is blood, what happens? Sin must go. And why is there blood? Death has happened. So anytime you see a people's sin retained, it's because a people have refused to die. So it's not the strength of sin. It's our inability to what? To die. Yeah. So you can now understand why love will cover a multitude of sin. It will swallow it. Because love is as strong as death. Are you seeing the Bible?
Yes.
Are you seeing the Word of God? It's as strong as death. So you can see that the lesson of love is death. That's the lesson of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Are we together, friends?
Yes,
so that blood thing, the old constitution called blood, that reality that is in Mount Zion. Give me Mount Zion. Hebrews, is it Hebrews 11 or thereabout? Hebrews 12. I say, no, let's check it. Are you blessed?
Yes,
let's start from 18. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned, shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of judgment, to judge the material of the new covenant, and what? To the blood of sprinkling. Huh? And what's that? And that blood speaks better things than that of Abel. The word speak talks about what it represents. It talks about the representation, the authority that's in that blood. Are you together with me?
Yes,
and the blood of Abel was requiring what? Was requiring vengeance. Why was it requiring vengeance? Because it was not necessarily tutored by the Spirit.
Yes.
Am I preaching here?
Yes, sir.
Was requiring vengeance. That's why when the disciples of Jesus were asking Jesus to also to demand fire from heaven like Elijah, he said, you don't know the manner of spirit. So you can see for Jesus, he was governed by the Spirit of God. Are you together with me? The Spirit of love. I don't know if I'm...
Yes,
I don't know.
Sir.
I don't know if we're here together.
Yes, sir.
Because a lot of you compare yourself and you don't know that if you follow the Lord as he would have you follow him, you cannot imagine what you are turning out to in the realms of the Spirit. I tell you the truth. We're going to have more beautiful saints in the end than the ones we had in the beginning. I know you don't believe. The end is ending more powerful than how we started. Greater is the end of a thing than its beginning. I'm telling you, we're going to have people that will finish this end of this stuff that Paul will be impressed by their life.
Yes. Yes,
Paul is not the best that God can get.
Yes.
Am I preaching here?
Yes, sir.
Jeremiah is not the best.
Yes, sir.
So, the Spirit leads us to death. Why? Because the end game is resurrection. The end game is, you see, the end game is not enjoyment. Am I preaching here?
Yes, sir.
The end game is not enjoyment. It's resurrection. Say resurrection.
Resurrection.
That's the end game. It's not enjoyment. The end game is not enjoyment. It's resurrection. Enjoyment is lesser than resurrection. It's resurrection. That's why a lot of people can't hold their lives together again when enjoyment comes. When you have made enjoyment the hope, the day God brings the enjoyment, it's as though there's no more Christianity. You don't know what else. Because God has answered all your prayers.
Yeah.
So you don't even know what else to live for anymore. But if you are like Paul, Philippians chapter 3, at the end of Paul's life, Paul was still saying he's gone in for resurrection. He said, if that by any means I can attain, hey, that man is a bad man. If I can by any means, I might. Let's read it. Let me round off there. Let me just round off. Let's round off here. You see, but one of the things I'm doing in this teaching is to let you know that those dimensions that God is calling you into, are you together with me? I want you to know that your life, your resurrection life is there. Take the risk and dive in. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Dive in. The Lord has asked me to encourage you to dive in. You are not going to lose anything. Whatever you lose, you are going to get a higher dimension of it. That's the essence of this preaching. God says, I have been requiring you to come deeper, and it's scaring you. You're like, hey. And God says, no, take that risk and step into the deeper things of God. And when I mean deeper things of God, I'm not talking about revelations you can't understand. I'm talking of demands of intimacy that the Spirit himself is screaming inside you. Go for it. Go for it. Do you know what God just told me? God just told me that this is why I even delay some blessings. Yeah. He says, because if I bring those blessings before they take that step, he says they'll be lost. Yeah, they'll be lost. God told me that. Uh-huh. See, the Bible says, if he did not, it says, spare his son. Give me that scripture. That's Romans chapter what? Romans chapter 8. I want to show you something. How God wants to bless you. He who did not spare his own son. Come, Chris. Do you know the meaning of that? The spirit of that statement. There's a spirit to that statement. He who did not spare his own son. That statement has a spirit. It means that the meaning of that statement is If somebody gave you a brand new car, do you think it's costly for him to give you fuel? That is fuel a big deal?
No.
That's what it means here. He who did not spare his own son, that if I didn't spare my son, it means that the son is the greatest thing God would ever could have released. Like, if I give you my son, you should not have space in your brain that there is anything I won't give you. Oh, sadabaya kabunes. Let God bring revelation to your soul. I pray that God will blow. I pray that He will go beyond Bible study and this will be life. I pray for you. My spirit prays for you. That you will step into these things. He says, he who did not spare his son, like I didn't order my son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him? So you see, the way God wants to bless us is with him.
Yes, sir.
He doesn't want us to receive a blessing outside Jesus being the context.
Yes.
It is with. Oh, Badiga. Immediately you understand with him, you step into grace. The word for grace there is called freely. Freely. You should have been living by now. Freely. If you understood what I'm saying, all your life will be free. 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 Your marriage will be free. You'll be married for free. You will have organizations, how? For free. You will plant a mega church, how? Free. Free. No sweat. If you understood this, it's grace. This is how grace steps into a man's life. This is how grace enters. This is how you step into grace. You wear it. Everything comes with him. Or better, with him comes everything. He says, how shall he not with him, if he did not spare his son? So you can see that when God is taking you deeper into the things that has to do with the son and takes you into deeper levels of intimacy, it's because there are a lot of free things he's also intending to bring to you. Oh, Gabaya. Oh, Radime Vagabwe. Free things to the glory of his name. Oh, we beheld him, and he was the only begotten of the Father. He was full of grace. How I long that you step into grace. How I desire that you step into grace for living. How I long that. But delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely. If you understood this very well, the possibility of lack would not exist in your mind. You won't have ability to understand lack. Can't understand lack. Because you already have him. And you are doing life. You are going deeper in him. So the solution to every hardship. Because don't forget this, we are freely in this context, in this scripture. So what would deliver, what's the solution to hardship? In him. In him, hardship is dissolved. In him. In him. There won't be hardship in him. Sit down, brother. Can you lift up your right hand and just say freely?
Freely.
Come on, say freely.
Freely.
I bless your understanding tonight. I bless it. Oh, Lord, I bless it. Father, if I can bless anything, Father, I bless understanding tonight. Father, I bless understanding. Let there be migrations tonight. Migrations tonight. Let me show you one last scripture. Zechariah 4. Now the angel who talked with me came back and awakened me as a man who is waking out of sleep. He said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "I'm looking, there's a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right hand of the bowl and the other at the left." So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel who talked to me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." And he said, and he answered, and so he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." He said, "All you saw, I'm speaking to Zerubbabel." Zerubbabel was the one who did the first exit of the children of Israel out of Babylon. In fact, that's what they mean. That's the meaning of Zerubbabel. Out of Babylon. That was what he was called to do. And he says, "This is the word to Zerubbabel. Not by might. Not by power, but what by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Go back to that scripture. Your life should be like this. Every area of your life, not by power. If God has called me, I pray for you today. I bless you today. Not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit. By the Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. See the next verse. "Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain." This is the type of lives we live. We turn mountains to plains. That's who we are. I turn mountains to plain. Why? Because my name is Zerubbabel. It means that anything God has called me and ordained me to do upon the face of the earth, it wouldn't matter the mountain before me. When I live a life of the Spirit, mountains become plain. "Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and it shall bring forth the capstone." The capstone is the crowning stone for the building of the temple. "It shall bring forth the capstones," but he's going to shout, "Grace! Grace to it!" It's a whole life of grace. A whole life of grace. Why? Because you are just living at the other side of death. You are living in resurrection. When you live in resurrection, all you are going to know is grace, grace, and grace. Tonight, you are welcome to grace. Tonight, as you walk the walk of the Spirit, you are welcome to grace. No sickness will stay in your body. No poverty will stay in your life. No mountain will withstand you. No valley
will drown you. Nothing. Nothing.
Yes.
You overcome every challenge, every obstacle. You just reveal the glory of God everywhere you go. Jesus will be seen. Grace will be seen. Grace, 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 grace. Let it go, friends. Come on, let it go. Kabinaeta Siletomini Shai Kabana Kada. You are blessed. You are blessed. There's a blessing tonight. There's a blessing tonight. The Father has come to bless us himself. I tell you the truth. The Father himself has come to bless us. The Lord has come to bless us himself. And I mean that. And that's why I say you are blessed. You are purified. You are put back on track. The careful hands of Jesus himself. He has carefully placed you back on the path of life. And you shall bear fruits. That will be for the healings of the nations.
Yes.
You are blessed.
Yes.
I call you blessed.
Yes.
Oh, I call you blessed.
Yes.
The flesh has lost.
Yes.
And Jesus has the victory. You are blessed tonight.
Yes.
You are blessed tonight.
Yes.
I tell you. There's a blessing. Do you know what a blessing is? A blessing is spiritual life. A blessing is life in the spirit. Till life in the spirit, but here you are blessed.
Yes.
Anytime you are able to comprehend life in the spirit, and your soul can respond to life in the spirit, is because you are blessed.
Yes.
It says, we have been blessed with all blessings, every spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Tonight there is a supernatural awareness in the soul. There is a consecration that the Spirit himself has worked out tonight. And so the Lord lays his hands on you in love. And he calls you blessed.
Amen.
The Lord calls you his own.
Amen.
You are blessed.
Amen.
Now you will walk in the light.
Amen.
I say you are walking in the light.
Amen.
I say you are walking in the light.
Amen.
The whole congregation is walking in the light.
Amen.
Not one person, not two persons. The whole assembly. The whole assembly. Those in the house, those watching online, the whole assembly. Listen, there is an operation of the spirit that can carry the whole house. The book of Psalms told us how God carried Israel on the wings of an angel. The whole Israel was carried. The whole house is blessed. There is a corporate migration into the things of God.
Amen.
Come on, lift up your hands and give God all the praise. Glory be to God.